Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us.
Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskNewPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the moment that we've been waiting for, the fallout of SummerSlam 2024 in Cleveland, the biggest party of the summer, the Bear of Texas here along with Brooklyn's finest, Mark Braverman. And ladies and gentlemen, what's going to make this episode special is that Mark and I are really at a conflict because Mark hated the show while I actually loved it. How about
I have no idea. What show you were watching, bro? I really don't. Because this was the biggest disaster since probably SummerSlam 93 and 95. And that's saying a lot because those two shows, if you're old enough like I am to remember them, were god-awful. The problem with those two shows is at least SummerSlam 93 gave us Shawn against Mr. Perfect, which was a fantastic matchup. Even though the ending was terrible, we had that amazing ladder match at SummerSlam 95 between Shawn and Razor. This card was supposed to be stacked, not one watchable, not one enjoyable match. They completely destroyed themselves on this one. They really did. So I don't know what you saw. What I saw was pure trash.
Well, everybody knows that you and I are not the same kind of wrestling fan, but like that really matters. Now, I actually did not watch it live because obviously I was at work and I didn't watch it until actually Sunday. You know, at first, you know, the original plan was for us to go today, but then I thought maybe we should wait till the SmackDown fallout as well, but maybe that takes a little bit too long.
But no, as bad as no. I didn't want to wait that long either. And Saturday,
I'm sure you'll explain to us why you didn't like the show, but
of course.
But for me, okay, there's one match that I did not like the result, and I think you know which one. But I will say, I think it was a solid show, but obviously it wasn't perfect.
It was a horrible show. It was unwatchable. Let me put it to you this way. 3/4 of the way through the show, I was so angry, I threw on the Met game. And being the fact this is what you and I do for industry, being the fact that this is what you and I do outside of our normal lives, this is what we do to have fun and to get our brand out there. If one of the two of us is throwing on a baseball game during a live pay per view, you know that was trash. That's how bad this show was.
Okay.
And by the way, the Mets lost.
So. There's no match that impressed you.
None.
Not one moment. Not one moment from the show impressed you.
The only thing that impressed me is when Bailey, I don't know how she did it with the with that injured shoulder and all the injuries that she's been going through right now. Somehow powerbombed Nia Jax, who I have another nickname for, but because we're live and because we're nice, I will not say the nickname for her. But I'll put it to you this way. I have no idea how the hell Bailey did that.
Well, she's tough.
I don't have a clue.
Never underestimate Bailey's toughness.
That's why she's the best.
I mean, never underestimate a women's wrestler's toughness. Hey, female wrestlers are tough too.
Look at the list. Well, you can look at the list of all the. Look, you have the late great, in one of my opinion, one of the greatest ever, Moolah. You can't forget about how the legendary Moolah was unbelievable. You had Cherry Martel, who was never a fan of, but was fantastic. All the way up to Lita and Trish, who were just incredible, who just paved the way for what we have now. And, of course, all of them on the roster now, including Natalie, Bailey, some of the girls in AEW, and I'll give them credit for that. And all the girls in WWE locker room have been absolutely phenomenal for the past decade or decade and a half, easily. But that was the only spot that I thought was watchable. The rest of the show was pure trash. It really was.
Let's start with the first match. Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley.
I am a Liv Morgan fan. Everybody knows it about me. I am a Liv Morgan fan ever since the days in the Riot Squad. I've said that several times here. I happen to like Rhea Ripley also. I'm not a huge fan of her, but I like her style. I like the heavy metal part of her. I'm a heavy metal fan. So she fits. What? Absolutely. Horns, baby. But this match was disappointing to me. First of all, there was too much interference from that jobber, Dominic. That's number one, who they just who honestly and truly they just need to fire already. They really do. If you put him with Rhea and he's still a jobber, that's a huge problem. He didn't have the title change, which I knew wasn't gonna happen. But the match was relatively boring. I didn't find any spot too appealing about it. You knew what the ending was going to be eventually. So this was not the match I wanted. I wanted to see a knockdown, drag-out affair between two stars. And what we got was nothing. We got a chicken fight over a jobber. And to have the announcers curse on the microphone and call Dom an SOB, and then Pat McAfee scream out the S word, only proved what I said about his baby was garbage. You have children watching this show. And you're cursing live on the microphone. That has never been
allowed. At least Triple H is allowing that. I mean, come on. I think sometimes in pro wrestling, cussing on the commentary, I think sometimes it's essential to it. Again, pro wrestling should not be, never should be, rated PG.
I agree with you on some terms, but let me put it to you this way. You had kids watching this show. Now, you have nephews. I have nieces and nephews. And plenty of people out there have children. You really want a 7-year-old listening to McAfee use the S-bomb?
I mean, not particularly. I mean, I would hope that the bleep effect goes on. I mean, as long as there's the bleep, then...
Except they didn't bleep it. And more important than that, during the Attitude Era, this was a no-no. During the hype of the Attitude Era, you were not allowed to curse in WWE or WCW. We're allowing it now?
Times have changed.
Times have changed, but still, though, this was not a terrific match at all. Liv Morgan is capable of much better. Rhea's capable of much better, and you and I both know it.
Mm-hmm. I will say this, though. I think I speak for both of us, specifically you, that you cannot wait to see a Rhea. You cannot wait for the moment that Rhea puts her foot up Dominic's butt.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean...
I've been waiting a year for somebody to kick this. Outside of when Ray kicked this kid all around the ring, I am waiting for the day that somebody walks into the ring, smacks him in the teeth, and says, kid, go back to college where you belong because you just don't belong here. And he doesn't. He is the new version of The Miz, who just sucks.
Oh, boy.
That's just how bad this is. The storyline between the three of them was great, but you ruined it with this match. You ruined it. You had a chance to have two of your top stars destroy each other, and you didn't have that. And there was another match that we were going to get to where we had the same problem. This was a horrible, boring, ridiculous match that I don't know what the hell they were thinking when they did this.
There's one thing and about Dominic that I do respect, though. You notice, you remember Eddie Guerrero, Eddie Guerrero's appearance in WCW with the long hair and the mustache?
Sure.
Yeah, so and Dominic is sporting that same look. So the one good thing about Dominic is he's respecting a legend. So
he's respecting his uncle, which is fine. I understand that, but at the same time, Eddie could take an audience and have them right here. So can Rey Mysterio and Rhea Ripley's getting Rhea and Liv used until this match had that. Of capturing the audience in the palm of their hand. Dominic, no, can't do it.
I mean, only Dominic could turn a heel when he's already a heel.
Right. You already.
So that's something, yes. You gotta give Dirty Dom his credit.
You can't say he already turned heel when the man already is heel. That's just saying, oh, Jericho turned heel when Jericho is already heel. Stupid. The turn was Liv going heel. Which is just not going to work because you learned in the riot squad, Liv is not a good heel. Liv is a much better face. Liv is a 10 times better face than she is heel. I don't know if the new Judgment Day is going to work. But I know this on Raw, Rhea Ripley and Priest got the ovation that they so richly deserved after doing this Edwin Judgment Day for over a year. Going into the ring, kicking everybody's teeth down their throat. That they did do well. But this match, you had a chance to have a knockdown, drag out affair from the word go, and you did not. That was my problem with this match. It was just boring. I wasn't impressed. I really wasn't.
All right. Next match, Brav.
Oi. Sami Zayn, Bron Breakker, go ahead.
You know, the fact that the match was short, you know, I fear that if the match is short, that would mean that Sami Zayn would get squashed.
Which is exactly what happened.
In a sense, yeah. I could have sworn that after the match, though, in the post interview, Bron Breakker praised Sami Zayn. Was I dreaming, or did he actually do that?
He did it out of respect for a man who's been in the business for 20 plus years. If you follow Sami Zayn's career, then you know that he started off in Ring of Honor as El Generico. He came here, he was given not that great of a character, joined the Bloodline again. He was okay in the Bloodline, broke out the Cole Kevin Owens feud thing. Sami Zayn has had a career worthy of the Hall of Fame. He really has. Bron Breakker did what most champions don't do. You respect the guy whose butt you just kicked. And this was a squash match. But it just shows you the love that Bron Breakker has for the business because of who his uncle and his father are.
They were in attendance.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. And I'm very proud of the Steiner brothers for everything. Together, amazing. Separate, they were terrible. But I'm very proud of that Bron Breakker in a horrible show. Took the time to say thank you, Sami, for putting me over. Thank you for giving me the chance. That I do respect. Not many champions would have done that. As for the match itself, squash match. Shouldn't have happened. But
Bron is a great worker. Very, very, very good worker.
I like the fact that they brought the Frankensteiner, though. That I do like. That, to me, it shows respect of who he is. But the match itself, I expected much better from it. The Intercontinental title match, it's called the Workhorse title, correct?
It's been said many times. Because there's been, the list, the God-tier list of Intercontinental champions goes way back to the 80s.
More like the 70s, actually. Pat Patterson was the first.
Yeah.
Then all the way down to Savage, Dragon, Hart, Perfect, Austin. Look how many men have won this title. The Hard, Triple H, The Rock, scumbags. Okay, all of these people have won the Intercontinental title, but they never had a squash match for the title. It's very, very rare. Only the War and Honky Tonk Man had won at SummerSlam in the first one, but that was, I don't know what happened there either.
Against the Ultimate Warrior.
Right, I don't know what happened at that one either, but they were just looking for that major pop for the Warrior to get him going.
It was in Madison Square Garden, I think, too.
Yes, it was at the Garden.
It was in your backyard.
It was in my backyard, that's right. But maybe they did it for to get Braun Breaker going. I don't know, but the crowd loved it. What they did not love was a squash match. I don't like it. Again, this was not a great match, but I will say this. We had four title changes. It's the only match where nobody else got involved. That I will say.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I expected something a lot better from the IC title. I really did.
Yeah, I agree. And speaking of squash matches, you know, I said this on an episode when I was recapping the AEW Blood and Guts. Squash matches, in my opinion, shouldn't be on live television.
I agree.
Out of respect to the talent that agreed to do the squash, you know, at least put it to where it's not on live television.
I agree with you, and I think that that's something that needs to change.
That does because squash matches can affect the status and the value of that talent. I mean, that's how Absolutely. It was back then. I mean, Jesse Ventura himself said that way back in the day, if you got squashed on live television, then you were cast for life. I feel like that particular mentality should still be alive and well.
It should be, but I don't think it's going to hurt Sami Zayn's character, because I know for a fact that he does have a rematch next week for the title. I'm hoping that this will not be a squash match next week on Raw. I don't know what they were thinking when they had a squash match. Like I said, this was a garbage, trash show. It really was. If you're going to have a squash match, have it on one of the minor pay-per-views. If it was a squash match on Money in the Bank, okay, we had to do it for room. If it was a squash match on, let's say, pick any one of the non-big four, I have no problem with it. On the big four, though, there's no reason for this. Mania, Survivor Series, Rumble, SummerSlam, none of them should have a squash match. This is ridiculous.
Sami Zayn just decided that he wanted to put Braun Breaker over in the best way, and he felt that the way to do it was just to, you know, have Braun Breaker dominate and win quickly.
But if you're in charge of the company, I wouldn't have allowed it. I would have said, look, we're not going to have a squash match. This is our second biggest pay-per-view of the year. We have to do something here. Show your talent. You can lose to Frankenstein all you want. But give us at least 15 minutes, not five.
Right.
That was okay. Awful.
But I will say this. I've seen worse, though. We've seen a whole lot worse on this match.
I've seen worse, but I've also seen where, again, on a big four, there's no reason for this. But we have seen worse, particularly at this show. But,
yeah,
again, not a great move. No. It just wasn't. It was not a great move.
Wasn't. All right, moving on.
Yeah, next up is what I knew was going to be a horrible match. And I said this on my pre-show that I did alone on Facebook. LA Knight versus Logan for the U.S. title. Again, we have a new champion. That's LA Knight. Again, he didn't win it clean. Someone interfered, if I remember. Not a particularly fun match at all. But then again, I'm not a Paul Logan fan. You are not exactly an LA Knight fan either. So this one's all you.
Well, I will say Logan Paul's wrestling gear, though, was pretty unique. It was a Cleveland Brown-themed green gear. It's Cleveland. You know, Cleveland Brown Stadium, and Logan Paul is the Cleveland native, so it's all right. You know, and honestly, for so long, you know, I was very vocal for LA Knight. Like, when he was in the title picture, I really didn't feel like he needed to win the title, but eventually they were going to have to put at least one belt on him because, you know, he's been a workhorse. He's done everything that management had him to do, did everything what that creative asked him to do, so eventually, when a talent does exactly what he's told for long enough, you got to see, because you know me, I believe in that you have to reward hard work and you have to reward loyalty.
Now, absolutely.
Logan Paul was champion for quite a while, but right now, honestly, I don't know what the future holds for Logan Paul as far as professional wrestling goes. I mean, because, you know, he's got other business ventures as well, you know, involving, you know, real fighting, and, you know, he's a YouTube personality, he's a celebrity, so... So I don't know what the future holds for Logan Paul. I didn't expect him to drop the belt to LA Knight, so I was surprised. LA Knight, you know, still, you know, a great worker, so, you know, obviously still very popular and still over with the fans, but I would say the match, okay, some moments awesome. You know, it's a match that went back and forth, but I would say it was well balanced, but I think there was more positives than negatives. Because again, a match is not going to be perfect in any way. But I would say this match, I've seen better. I've absolutely seen worse. So not the best match I've seen, and certainly not the worst. I think it was just another match that I was able to make it through, and it wasn't as difficult as I feared that it would be. I was able to get through it easy.
I'm going to disagree with you on plenty of this. First of all, I knew this was going to be a boring match, and I was right. It was. The only thing that worked, if I remember correctly, one of them pulled off a superplex from the top. One of them pulled off a superplex from the top rope, which was a pretty cool spot. But honestly, this was not a great match. It was as dull as watching paint dry, to be honest with you. Logan Paul most likely is probably going to leave the ranks of professional wrestling. We all hope, because he needs to get out of here. He's just not a very good professional wrestler. LA Knight is starting to capture the audience, which is fine. The U.S. title for a long time was very important. Now it's kind of like not that important of a belt. You just give it to somebody who's just looking for a small push, and I think that's what they're trying to do with LA Knight. But honestly, the match was awful. I didn't find anything too fun about it. It was your basic, typical WWE metal match, if you want to go that far.
Oh, boy.
if, you know, it was something... It was a match that you would have seen main event at Sunday Night Heat. Oh. Not on pay-per-view. That's how bad this was. You put two people who have... LA Knight's starting to get over. That's fine, but that's... Again, it's a generational gap. I'm not particularly a fan of this guy, because I've seen guys like Arn Anderson, Booker T, the late Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko. I've seen all the greats wrestle for this belt. Ric Flair, Ravishing Rick Rude, Dragon, .. LA Knight? No. No. Paul Logan? No. 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 Sorry, but no. Again, probably generational gap. But again, this was just a sleeper match. And I remember thinking, is the Met game on yet? Is there any baseball on? When I'm thinking baseball's on, that's a problem. And even though I'm a Mets fan, even though I happen to enjoy the game, I do not really like watching the game on TV. If I'm searching for a ball game on TV when SummerSlam's going on, you know it's a bad show. So that's what this was. It was your basic main event for formerly Sunday Night Heat. And 20 years ago, that's what this match would have been. Bad. But congratulations, LA Knight. You won the belt. Good luck with it.
All right. Next up.
Oh, God. The match that broke my heart.
Oh, boy. Bayley versus Nia Jax.
Match that absolutely destroyed me.
Oh.
This was nothing but politics, trash, garbage. Because that's what this was.
And you believe The Rock wrote this match?
Absolutely. You will never convince me otherwise.
You believe he produced it too?
Either Rock wrote this and produced it, or a new line for The Rock. We used to say, do you smell what The Rock is cooking? I'm changing it. Do you smell the politics The Rock is playing? Okay. You made sure that this garbage happened at Queen of the Ring. Now, we both agree that The Rock played politics, that Nia Jax, who I call something else, but I'm going to be polite because you asked me to. I'm going to hold back a little bit, even though I warned everybody I'm not going to. That The Rock made sure that his cousin, who cannot wrestle, who has no biz, who is completely unsafe, who has been suspended already for being unsafe, almost got fired twice because of complaints. You made sure that she won the Queen of the Ring, which was entirely BS, and you agreed with me on that one, sir. Now you go to your second biggest pay-per-view. You take the belt off the woman who lasts over an hour in the over an hour and 5 minutes in the Royal Rumble against everybody, Drew number three, went to WrestleMania, beat her best friend in one of her best friends in an amazing match, and 100-something days later, you take the title off her because you feel like it? No, I'm sorry. This was garbage. She got booed out of the damn building. That's how bad people were. That's how pissed people were. I was so mad. This is when I turned on the Met game. I was so furious because you let Tiffany jump in for no reason. Because, oh, it's a stupid storyline. Okay. You let them play politics throughout this match. The only thing that worked was that Bailey powerbombed her. That should have been the end of it. When Bailey powerbombed her, that should have been the match. Because when she did it, everybody thought it was over, including me. There was no shock effect in this. And the second that Tiffany came out, I went, uh-oh, Rock wrote this garbage. This was nothing but politics and nonsense. That's what this garbage was. And it breaks my heart. As not only a Bailey fan, but as a wrestling fan, that this nonsense was allowed at the second biggest pay-per-view of the goddamn year. This was trash.
See, this is like a match where I kind of had, where I was really shaking my head. Look, I as far as Nia Jax goes, okay, look, there's been some fair criticism in her in-ring ability. I will say this. I've seen she's not the worst ever. I mean, I will say that. Look, when she first came back, you know, everybody was a lot of people were unhappy about it. For me, I didn't think of it too much. I was just like, well, let's wait and see if she's, you know, learned, you know, like let's see if there's any change. I mean, that's all I said. But like, all due respect to Nia, I mean, look, not a huge fan of hers, but you know, much like my boss, I want her to achieve her dreams and, you know, and have a great life just like everybody else. But yeah, you know, I thought it would have made more sense that if Nia wins the title and then immediately gets betrayed by Tiffany, who cashes in on her, that probably would have saved the day.
Yep, I would have had no problem. I told you this privately. I would have had no problem. If Bailey beats Nia, she's hurt. She's all messed up because Nia's unsafe anyway. Tiffany comes and cares on Bailey. Bing, bang, boom, we have a champion. I'm fine with it. Because at least Tiffany Stratton can wrestle. At least we know she knows how to protect an opponent. Nia, no chance in hell. You dropped three. Not one, not two. But three times you dropped on Bailey just to make a statement and just say, yup, my cousin made sure I won the belt. And then you did this, which was a complete insult, not only to Bailey, but to all the women in the back. Just saying, I don't care. My cousin doesn't care as long as I walk out with the title. This was garbage. This was political garbage. And it's been going on since The Rock came out and revealed his huge wrestling family tree that no one gave a damn about. And they got booted out of the building for it. That's what this was. That's all that this was.
That's where I agree. Because again, I think that, yeah, if Nia wins, but then immediately loses the belt to Tiffany Stratton, that I think would have been great. Because you remember when Nia was champion back in 2018 when she won the title at WrestleMania, you noticed that her title reign was actually short. It was like 70 days.
Yep.
But some people would say that even this time, 70 days is just way too long because, again, Nia Jax is I would say more than fairly unpopular with a pro wrestling fan base.
Not only is she not only is she unpopular, she can't wrestle. She cannot wrestle. She's very limited in what she can do. She's extremely limited in what she can do. And what she does do is she's very unsafe. How many women has she injured? How many women have complained about her? How many times has the WWE not only suspended her, but threatened to fire her?
I don't remember her getting suspended.
She got suspended.
When was that?
A couple of years ago. She got suspended for being unsafe. They suspended her for 30 days. She got a 30-day suspension for being unsafe.
The notoriety for being reckless and unsafe in the ring, I mean, it speaks for itself because, you know, because we've seen it, but yeah, the match, this was the match where you and I are certainly not going to have a conflict on because, yeah, this was the match that, yeah. So I think we've gotten that out of the way, and I'm glad that we finally got this one out of the way, so I think we're ready to go on.
Do you believe that this was that politics were played, yes or no?
For in the Nia Bailey match?
Yes.
I can't confirm yes or no, but I can say that it is heavily possible that politics did play a role. I support the strong possibility. I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to say that you're wrong. The fact that you believe that The Rock wrote this and used a heavily influence on politics, that I'm not going to say that you're wrong for that because at the end of the day, who knows? But we all know that this whole thing, that was it's a blunder. So I will say this is a blunder. Bailey, so either like that, if that wasn't the plan, then there was no point for Bailey to lose the belt.
No, and I'll put it to you this way. This is going to be my last point, then we can move on to another disaster. A lot of people complain that Hogan was the politician of the 80s and the 90s, while The Rock's the politician of this generation. That's how bad this was. That's how much garbage this was. That's all I'm going to say.
Very unfortunate.
Yep. Next up, the match that everybody's looking forward to but turned into pure garbage, CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre. Go ahead.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I was expecting a lot, especially with Seth freaking Rollins as the special guest referee. Well, I'm not surprised that CM Punk lost because I think in business, because for business terms, since the storyline between Drew and CM Punk is going so well, if it's going so well, you got to find a way to keep it going for several more months at a time. But now that Seth Rollins is now in the storyline, especially with what we saw in the match and what we saw on Monday Night Raw, you know, when Seth Rollins cut the segment with Punk and then got attacked by Bronson Reed, who gave him 6 title waves,
which was ridiculous, by the way.
Honestly, I expected Seth Rollins to turn into a full-fledged heel, but that didn't happen. I still think right now he's still somewhat of a face, but I would say he's a little bit caught in between.
Kind of like Liv was a few months ago.
Right. And the fact that even during the match, Seth Rollins berates Punk and says, like, nobody likes you, nobody wants you, this isn't about you, you a-hole. You know, because again, I mean, the legitimate issues between CM Punk and Seth Rollins are still alive and well, from what I understand.
That goes back years. That goes back to Ring of Honor, by the way. That goes back years. But I will say,
wait.
I'm going to
say it goes back to Ring of Honor.
Goes back to Ring of Honor. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Punk was not there when Rollins was there.
Punk was in the locker room at times when he was there, and it wasn't that they were wrestling each other. It was more backstage. They had a lot of problems with each other backstage, from what I'm understanding. How true it is, I don't know.
But
how true it is, flip a coin in the air. I'm going to say why this match was horrible. This match was the only match on the card that everybody said could possibly was going to steal the show. We had that big fight feel, that everybody loves, but there was no big fight. You made this match that you've been building up brilliantly with the storyline for almost 4 or 5 months, probably since the Royal Rumble. So it's been 8 months into Mania, into here. Big fight feel, right? Everybody's looking forward to it, right? Everybody's standing at their feet, they're going to go crazy, right? Except nobody did. And here's why. You made the match about the special guest referee and a bracelet. That's all that you did. You didn't say, you didn't have that Taz versus Sabu or Taz versus Bam Bam Bigelow like we had in ECW. Dragon versus Flair. Savage versus Hogan WrestleMania 5. Hogan versus Rock WrestleMania 18. You didn't have, you had that big fight feel, but you did not give us the big fight match. You gave us two men who were more concerned about the special guest referee than beating the hell out of each other. That's what this was. This was a blind miss.
There was you a little reminiscent, though, of SummerSlam of 97, Bret versus Undertaker with Shawn as the special guest referee.
And that match was terrible also because we had the same problem. Because you're too focused on the referee than the two guys in the ring. If you would have had, if you would have said, okay, we know Seth Rollins in the car, we're going to have to live without him. If you would have had just a plain old-fashioned referee like we did for Rock Hogan, like we did for Sabu and Taz, like we did for Savage and Flair, like we did for any of those other big fight matches that we all loved, that feeling of, TNA, Angle versus Joe, right? You would have been able to focus on the two combatants. You would have had a knockdown, drag-out, half-an-hour match, and whoever wins and the crowd goes home happy. Instead, you had to involve a referee, which never works, because you have that big fight feel, but I'm worried about this guy. I'm worried about the zebra. I don't got to worry about the zebra. I can worry about the guy standing across the ring from me who wants to kill me. That was their big mistake, and I knew it was going to be a mistake when Rollins wasn't involved, because you took away that big fight feel, and now I get worried about the third man in the ring. I don't want to worry about the referee. I don't care who the referee is. I want to watch these two guys try to knock each other's heads off. I'll give you an example. Madison Square Garden, Survivor Series 1996. Bret Hart, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Remember the feeling you had when you watched that match?
Well, I didn't watch the match. I was 3 years old when this match took place.
Okay.
Sorry to make you feel old.
Thank you. But have you ever watched it on DVD?
Or I watched on YouTube? The network.
Okay.
You know, back when it was the network.
So you have that hair, and you have the other little hairs back your neck stand up, right? You're going to feel this is going to be awesome, right, which it was. Let me ask you a question. Did they even care who the referee was?
No.
Ah!
I mean, I didn't. I mean, I don't know about them, but I didn't.
You ruined it by making the referee a wrestler.
Well, who was the referee? That
was your mistake. For what? Austin Bret Hart?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I think it was Hepner, if I remember correctly. But who the hell cares?
Oh.
Who the hell cares?
Talk about that match. Yeah, the referee didn't make a difference to me.
Right. But the referee in this one got too involved. That was the problem. We did not need the third man to be a professional wrestler. If you would have kept Seth Rollins out of this, which is what exactly they should have done, Drew on one side, Punk on the other. We go at it for half an hour like we've had so many times before. This could have saved a horrible show, and it didn't. It destroyed it. This was the match that could have saved what was a terrible trash show, and instead we got more trash.
Rollins is involved in the angle, so they have to place him in something. So I mean, they would suggest why not a triple threat match between the three. I mean, that I would imagine it comes down to that, but we're not at that point yet.
We're gonna get that at Berlin. We're gonna get that probably at the Berlin pay per view at the end of the month.
Maybe at the Rumble. I would say, well, no,
too far.
Maybe at Survivor Rumble. Series.
Depending on if they enter War Games, and that's a possibility. But this was trash. You threw away the possibility of having that big fight feel at SummerSlam, which we've had many, many times before, and you gave us trash. That's what this was. You destroyed what should have been your moneymaker at this one. and you flushed it down the toilet.
It's a shame, but, you know, match, you know, again, I still enjoy the match, you know, but it could have been better, but I think we can go on now.
Gunther versus Damian Priest. Oh, my God. Oh, boy.
Well, we all knew Gunther would win.
I would have liked the Gunther have won in a clean match.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that. Gunther winning cleanly would have been better, but at the same time, we all knew that Damian Priest would be betrayed. So, but then again, okay, you know what? He still could have lost cleanly. It's just after the match. The swerve probably, it probably would have been better. Maybe the swerve probably would have been better on Monday Night Raw.
The swerve would have been better one of two ways. As you suggest, Monday Night Raw, fine. But the swerve would have looked better afterwards. Gunther wins the title. Priest hands the belt to Gunther. They shake hands. Finn Balor comes from behind, doesn't like the handshake. Boom. Knocks his head off. There's the turn. But you did it during the match. The last time this happened, WCW, when Savage joined the NWO. That's how bad this was. This was, again, you took what should have been a fantastic idea, flushed it down the toilet.
The idea of Priest and Gunther shaking hands. I mean, keep on, Gunther is a major heel. Yeah, but that wouldn't happen.
But even though you wanted Priest to go face. We've had heels and faces shake hands at the end of matches. Gunther is a pure heel, but give him the belt anyway. Be a man about it. Or just say, okay, you lost the match. Have him celebrate in the ring. Boom. Finn Balor comes around and kills him. And kills Priest. That would be fine. During the match, disgusting.
And now there really is a Judgment Day Civil War, because, I mean, some would say, yeah, Rhea and Priest are the original Judgment Day. While, I mean, I think at this point, I mean, I don't know if Dom is part of the new Judgment Day, because Liv Morgan's part of it, so yeah, Dom's obviously part of it. So now there's the Judgment Day and the new one. So we got two Civil Wars now going on in WWE. We'll get to the other one at the end. But...
I'm thinking, obviously,
if it's the new, if it's Priest and Rhea versus the new Judgment Day, I mean, obviously, a couple of names are probably going to join forces with Rhea and Priest. But, I mean, I'm not sure. You know, again, as we talk about, we're just waiting for the moment where Mommy gets her hand on Dirty Dom.
We know that probably next Monday. Priest is probably going to challenge Dom to a match. Or there's going to be some sort of tag match. In comes Rhea, beats the snot out of Jobber Boy, which is exactly what's going to happen. We know that. Is somebody going to join Rhea and Dom? I highly doubt it, because there's not anybody left that could. But to me, it was just a horrible mistake to have Finn turn during the match. It would have been, like, as you said, it would have been a lot better afterwards or on Monday Night Raw. And again, I thought the match wasn't that great anyway. Gunther can wrestle. We know that. I expected better from him. I expected much better from Priest. Again, this was a trash, garbage show. The match was not enjoyable.
Gotta say, though, we gotta give Gunther his due, though. I mean, he deserves this. He's worked very, very hard for this.
I absolutely agree with you. I wanted Gunther to win. I picked Gunther to win the title. I thought he was going to win. And I'm happy for Gunther because, as you and I said, we loved him as Intercontinental Champion. He had the belt for months, for like 600-plus days, where he always defended. He was phenomenal in the ring. He's a workhorse, which I'm fine with. He deserves the world title, but he deserved it to win in a better match on a much better show than this trash.
Right. And keep in mind, you know what? When we learned about what Vince wanted to do to Gunther,
He didn't want to fire him.
He wanted to bury him. He wanted to bury him and send him back to NXT.
Well, thanks. But, you know,
thankfully, Triple H stepped up to the plate and said, nope, we are not going to do that.
I'm glad that they didn't bury Gunther, but I'm not happy about the way he won the title. I think we're a lot better clean.
I agree. Yeah, you know, that I will say. I mean, I still think the match was solid, but yeah, one thing that could have been better is, yeah, Gunther wins cleanly. Because
I'll put it
I mean, I'm surprised that Imperium didn't even get involved as well.
I don't know where they were. I don't know where Imperium was. I don't know where they were. They were in the back probably playing cards. But I'll put it to you this way. Four title changes, one of them clean, other three pure trash. That's why this show was terrible. All of this was either a Monday Night Nitro, was a late edition of Monday Night Nitro, or WWE Metal. Whoever wrote this garbage ducked into Bischoff's playbook and said, we can get away with writing that. No, you can't.
And this was the semi-main event, correct?
This was the semi-main event, and you gave us garbage. All
right, so now we get to the main event. Cody versus Solo Sikoa.
Right. You mean WrestleMania main event all over again? Because that's what this was. All they did was put in Solo, and all they did was play Solo Roman Reigns. We got the exact same match.
The match was good, though. I liked it.
No, it wasn't. It's garbage.
I mean,
you cannot repeat the same main event twice in a row.
I mean, you're not a fan of Solo, right?
No. Man can't wrestle. Use the same ridiculous finishing move as Umaga. A thumb? Come on.
I mean, look.
He can't wrestle. He's horrible. He's boring as hell. All he does is Umaga's finisher. I'm so scared.
I mean, he's paying homage to his uncle. I mean, you got to respect that. He's paying homage to his late uncle.
He is, but at the same time, you gave, and I respect that fully, because God knows to do with my uncle Jerry, and my uncle Steve, and all my uncle, all the people I lost. But at the same time, you don't have the same main event twice on your two major shows. You wanted to have a hardcore match? Fine, make it a hardcore match. You want to do something a little bit different? Put the belt up on a ladder. Put it in a cage. Put it in a Hell in a Cell. Do something other than giving me another Bloodline main event, a Bloodline match, because I had that at WrestleMania. I don't need to have the same match on the second biggest show of the year because you gave it to me already at WrestleMania night two. At WrestleMania night two. That's all that this was. There was nothing special about this match.
Except the end, when somebody came back.
Yeah, I didn't care about that either.
Did you see the shirt, though, OTC?
I saw the shirt.
I heard that the shirt sold just like that and made like over $800,000 in revenue.
Yeah, that's because some wrestling fans can't make up their mind. Let's rewind 5 months ago. Who's champion of the world 5 months ago?
All right.
I mean, who's champion 5 months ago?
Roman Reigns.
What was everybody screaming they have to do?
Everybody, I mean, for the most part, most wrestling fans were tired of it. I mean, you've been vocal. You were vocal about it. I was kind of like, look. We got to take this storyline to a whole new level, and there's got to be make some changes. Like we got to basically make it to where like Roman Reigns loses the title, gets takes a leave of absence, and then gets ostracized and basically like that to transition Roman back to a babyface to have a full fledged civil war within the Bloodline. When Paul Heyman was kicked out of the group, I mean, and I still watch it, you know. Taking that power bomb, I mean, the way he sold it, I mean, that's just the tough son of a gun that Paul Heyman is and always has been. So, hats off to Paulie. So, you know, I would imagine on SmackDown, I mean, if Paul Heyman makes his return, I mean, I would imagine it's on SmackDown, he aligns himself with Roman Reigns once again. I'd imagine Roman's going to address the crowd and kind of says he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know what happened or, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't know. But, you know, but right now I'm excited about what happens next within the Civil War, now that the Civil War is just about to go off into full effect. So now you think I'm crazy, but I'm more excited than ever with the story, Bloodline storyline.
What does this say?
Come on, Mark, come on. There's no need for that, Mark.
That's all that this is.
NWO 3.0, okay.
I've seen this before. Wait a second. Right. Bischoff did this 28, 20, 20, 25, 20, 30 years ago. TNA did this. Guess what happened to both organizations?
Well, one went away. One's still around.
One died and one is dying slowly. You cannot repeat the mistakes of WCW. And yet here we are. Now we have two civil wars going on. I've seen this movie before. It's not as bad as the Judgment Day because you have the Liv Morgan Rhea thing going on, which is what's saving that horrible storyline. Because Dominic's a jobber. The rest of Carlito was never anything other than a mid-carder. JD's okay, and Finn Balor, which is all fine. Damian Priest and Rhea stars now, which is fantastic, and so is Rhea, and so is Liv Morgan, which is what's going to make the Judgment Day work semi. This garbage has been going on for 4.5 years, and all it is the NWO 3.0. NW kicked out their manager, Ted DiBiase, went with the Steiners. Then he disappeared. I've seen this movie before, Mommy. I've seen this movie before. It was just as bad as the first time, and it's worse the second time. And it's even worse now the third time. Roman Reigns, 5 months ago, got booed at every building he walked into. He flips the dime. Now everybody loves him again. No. Mm-mm. Don't do that. You either love this man or you hate this man. Heel or face, I've hated this man. I've never changed my position on most of my wrestlers. Always been a Flair fan. Always been a Bayley fan since day one. Always was an Undertaker fan. Same thing with Steamboat, Piper, blah, blah, blah. Don't change your point of view. Because the guy all of a sudden is a face. That's nonsense. 6 months ago, you booed him out of the damn building. Now you love him? No, that's quirky nonsense. This is the NWO all over again. That's all that this is. Now it's solo with a whole bunch of jobbers. Just like you was Hogan Nash and Hall with a bunch of jobbers. I've seen this movie before. I didn't like it the first time, and I don't like it now. This is nonsense. I said it time and time again, the Bloodline has to go. It's going to kill this organization. It really is. We're spending too much time on the NWO again. Like I said, trash. Because that's what this show was. Garbage.
So basically, you felt cringy watching the show, didn't you?
Yes. What did you put on the mat?
Would you say that's an understatement?
You're going mild like I am because we're not allowed to use our favorite words on here because we want people to watch us and we want people to respect the show and not get kicked off YouTube and Spotify and what have you. So I'm biting my tongue a little bit because we were told to by not only people who watch the show, but by our bosses, you know, Ricky. So we're being nice here. But yes, I'm holding my tongue and just saying this was trash. If you thought the WrestleMania Night 1 was bad, this was worse. There was nothing about this show to like.
I mean, I'm actually curious to see what The Rock does. What The Rock does next, because remember, The Rock is still part of the Bloodline, and he's been away for a while. So I'm curious to see what side The Rock take. What side The Rock will take?
Who cares?
I mean, could you? Okay, so right now I'm already gonna say. Imagine WrestleMania 41, Roman Reigns versus The Rock. See, no, I'm laughing at myself because here I am promoting the idea that the WrestleMania 41, Roman Reigns versus Hollywood Rock.
Boring.
Or Roman Reigns versus Solo Sikoa.
Well, we had this, but again, you're stealing from WCW again. Wait a minute. I've seen this before. All right. Road Wild, 1999. Nash versus the new Hulk Hogan. The refound Hulk Hogan. That's what you're pitching? That match was terrible.
I mean, hey, the Rock's got Rock's got control. Rock's got power within creative. So who knows what the great ones gonna come up with?
He got in for a company for he got in because of the comp because of a drink company's getting their butts kicked. Did you? I checked the. Before one in the air. I happened to check the stock value of Prime right now. It's going this way.
To the toilet.
Yep, it's going. This stock is going down from a year ago. That company's not around much longer. WWE is not saving them. Here in New York, you can hardly find them. And this is New York City, the biggest city in the world, and you can hardly find Prime anywhere. I see Gatorade everywhere. I see Red Bull. I'm not seeing Prime. Because their stock is going down.
Unfortunate.
For the people who work for the company, yes. I feel bad for them and their families. But at the same time, that's the only reason why The Rock got on the board is because he put his money into a drink company. That doesn't mean he knows how to write wrestling.
I think there's been something about the UFL or something like that in the Army. I mean, I don't even know what's that about, but right now all these things are coming out. I mean, imagine the Usos versus the two enforcers that are with Solo. The dudes that came from New Japan. I mean, the names are kind of out of my head, but
you mean Haku's kids?
Yeah, Haku's kids. Yeah,
they can't wrestle either.
I mean, I don't know if I want to take it that far. I mean, they were successful in Japan.
Japan's not the WWE.
Well, I mean, Japan's well. I mean, and I mean, yeah, not the WWE, but Japan is far more serious. But you know, it was good to see that you know we were able to make it through this one. But see, right now the look right now. I mean, yeah, you're still feeling the cringe of how bad you thought the show was.
I have no idea what you saw that you were so excited that you wrote down you loved it, because I don't know what you were watching. Because what I was watching was pure trash. What I was watching was a bad version of Nitro, or a really bad version of metal, of WWE metal, or Sunday Night Heat. That's what I was watching. I don't know what you were watching.
I was watching SummerSlam.
Yeah, and what did you see that you liked in this one? Tell me, because I'm dying to know.
I mean, I was entertained. I'll be honest, you should see the reactions on social media. I mean, all over Twitter, people love this show. I mean, some people didn't like it as well, but I mean,
all over Facebook,
Mark, I got to remind you, you're the one who predicted that there were going to be times where there's a show that I love that you don't like. And you even predicted there's going to be a show that you love that I totally not like.
Money in the Bank, we reverse positions.
Yeah, you love that show?
That's right. You didn't like, I didn't love it, but I enjoyed it. You were the opposite. You didn't like Money in the Bank, and I was entertained by it.
Exactly. And the reason why we didn't talk about it on the show is because of, you know, of scheduling conflicts and stuff that goes on in our lives, but
great gap, yes.
But Mark, the bottom line is you predicted this.
Of course I did, because that's the beauty of wrestling. But at the same time, I don't know what you were thinking. I don't know if you were, I don't know if you went out to a Texas bar and had a little fun before you watched the show, because I don't know what you were doing. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's a generational gap thing.
Maybe it's just the mentality of you know, just loving and appreciating wrestling and trying not to be too negative. But at the same time, if there's a show, if there's something I saw that I didn't like, yeah, I'm going to be vocal about it.
So am I. But that's why we do this.
I mean, that again, I mean, I was vocal about, I thought that Bayley losing the title to Nia Jax was not good. And the only way to have saved it would be for Tiffany to cash in on Nia.
I agree. That's exactly what you, again, if Bayley would have been Nia, who I call something else, but again, I'm biting my tongue because I want to be a nice guy.
Yeah, I mean, come on, don't be Jim Cornette.
Yeah, well, why am I doing that? I don't know. But if Bayley beats Nia, which is exactly what should have happened, and then Tiffany beats Bayley, that's fine, because that's what the Money in the Bank case is anyway. Not that I'm a fan of the Money in the Bank case anyway, I'm not. But that would have been a better than what the trash that we got. But again, this was a very highly politically written show. That's why we had the trash that we had. And you're supposed to keep politics out of wrestling, but lately they have not. And it's time for the WWE to talk to the writing crew and go, listen, don't listen to this idiot. Listen to the boss. That's what Triple H and Stephanie need to be doing. He's saying, hey, don't listen to this guy just because he bought into a prime company. Listen to the boss. You think Vince would have ever allowed this trash to go on? Hell no. Never.
Things weren't going well when Vince was in charge, so.
Bro, at the end, no. At the end, no. But in the high of his career, he never would have allowed something this bad.
He would have fired The Rock, probably.
Absolutely. Absolutely in a minute. This was garbage. That's what, I don't know what you saw, but I saw trash. That's what I saw.
That's just it. We just saw it in a different way, and I guess that's just how we have to leave it. Mark didn't like the show, but the Bear Man did.
But on the show, you have proven that it was trash by saying Gunther should have won clean, that they should not have involved Seth Rollins being as the referee because it ruined the big fight feel. Bayley never should have lost. You have proven that this is trash.
I'm approving that there was some trash decisions, but I still feel like the show overall was a solid 8.5 because of a couple of things that could have been different. Still, I've seen worse. So, I mean, there's some agreements that, you know, like that, but, you know, I still say that I felt the show was fine, could have been better, and definitely could have been worse. Probably would have been worse if Vince had produced the whole thing. And I hate to say that, but how bad things were the last couple of years under Vince's leadership.
Vince and they say they never allowed this trash. Never in a thousand years. And I'll put it to you this way. You gave it an 8.5. I gave it an F.
I mean, in 2000, if this was like 2000, if we were anywhere between 2002 to 2006, yeah, Vince never would have allowed this. Yeah.
Devil.
Because I honestly believe 2006 was the final year where WWE was in its peak. 2007 was meh. But I would say, aside from the Attitude Era, 2002 to 2006, the true moments of the true time of the Ruthless Aggression Era, that was great. After that, started going down.
Except for seeing having the belt 18,000 times. I didn't like that either. But 2002, I would say that, maybe 2006. But I don't pull... I believe this was very, very political. This was garbage. It hurts. because of how long I've been watching wrestling. I've been watching wrestling since the first WrestleMania. I've never seen anything. I've seen politics played before. WCW ring a bell. But never in WWF this bad. I mean, it's been played before in WWE programming and WWF back in the day. But never, ever this bad. Never. That's how bad, that's how miserable this show was. You gave us the main event of WrestleMania all over again, which I did not need. Nobody needed that.
Fortunately, that's just how it went down. But ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the end. A reminder that you can find this show, Ringside Chaos, wherever you get your podcasts. So hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, share the show out. Please leave a 5-star review. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you so much for coming on. Mark, I thank you so much for coming on, and we'll be doing this again soon.
Absolutely.
All right, everybody have a good one.
Good night, everybody.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.